What a blessing it is to be here again, worship our God. So good to see you. If you would, take out your Bible with me and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. We are continuing our series in the book of Philippians tonight. We're going to be in chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 6 and 7 of this beautiful chapter. So focus your mind and your attention with me there for the next few moments. And remember that we're talking about spiritual stability. We're talking about spiritual stability. Paul says at the beginning of chapter 4 in Philippians, in verse 1, he says, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, and my joy and my crown," he says, "stand firm." Stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. He says, "Clothe yourself with the strength that's found in Jesus Christ." He says, "Hold your ground while living in the midst of this evil world, this sin-filled world that we're living in presently." He says, "Put on your spiritual armor that God has graced you with, and live a stable and secure spiritual life so that you may taste the joy that's found only in Jesus Christ and glorify His name and point others to Him in everything that you do. Stand firm, stand secure, stand your ground." It's God's desire for each and every one of us as His people, as His children, to be spiritually stable, to embrace spiritual maturity, to allow the Spirit to produce the blessed fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control within our life. God's desire for us is to continue to grow in our ability to endure struggles and hardships and temptations and trials within our life. God's desire for us is to continue to develop our spiritual discernment skills so that we may know how to honor our Lord Christ in any and every given situation. God's desire for us is to persevere through temptation, resisting the schemes of the devil, whatever it is that he may throw at us. And God's desire is for us to intensify our spiritual vision that sees Jesus as infinitely valuable above all things. God desires us to be spiritually stable in our Christian walk, in our Christian journey with Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul says elsewhere in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. He says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love." Spiritual stability is imperative for every Christian to continue to develop in his or her life. And we've been given the tools through God's Word that we need to do so, to develop spiritual maturity and spiritual stability within our life. And that's what Paul is addressing within Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, that big paragraph there that we see at the beginning of chapter 4. He's giving us tools, he's giving us principles that will help us to be spiritually stable and secure when the flesh, when the devil, when the world come pounding on the door of our hearts, and they surely will. And I'm sure that you've experienced that while living within your Christian walk. We've already looked at how spiritual stability requires brotherly affection. We notice that in the first few verses of chapter 4. It's necessary for all of us to see one another, to see our brothers and sisters in Jesus as extremely, extremely valuable and precious. And when we do this, when we have this spiritual vision of each other as valuable enough for the Son of the living God to die for, we're able to handle conflict in a much healthier way when it inevitably arises, and remain corporately stable and spiritually mature together. Spiritual maturity, as we've seen through Paul's writing inspired by the Spirit, requires a commitment to reconciliation by all within the body, so that the whole body may be able to stand together and fight the schemes of Satan when he attempts to divide us into groups and factions and camps. A commitment by all to forgive, to reconcile, to pursue reconciliation whenever relationships become broken within our life. We've also looked at how spiritual stability, it requires the spirit of genuine camaraderie with one another within the church, a spirit that seeks to work side by side with our fellow Christian in the advancement of the gospel and in the edification of the church of Jesus Christ. Spiritual stability requires a rejoicing in the Lord always, as we looked at in verse 4, so that our sight is set on things above, where Jesus Christ is seated, enabling us to glorify Him even in the midst of trials. And we looked at how spiritual stability requires a spirit of gentleness, a spirit of moderation, a spirit of a reasonable spirit, a meek and humble attitude which points all people to the gentleness and meekness of Jesus Christ Himself, who desires all people to be saved. And tonight, we're going to be talking about another aspect of spiritual stability that Paul mentions within verses 6 and 7. Notice with me those verses. Let's read that together. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Starting in verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." One of the greatest enemies of our spiritual stability is anxiety. One of the greatest enemies of our spiritual stability is anxiety. Now, I could be wrong, but I think anxiety is something that touches every one of us to varying degrees. We're anxious about what other people think about us, how they perceive us in their minds. We're anxious about our children, about our kids, about their development, about their safety, about their happiness. We're anxious about our finances, whether or not we'll have enough, whether or not we'll have enough to make ends meet and do the things that we want to do in the future. We're anxious about our health, if we will experience pain or the inability to do the physical things that we've always done in the past. We're anxious about the condition of the world, how everything seems to be going to pot, how everything seems to be going south, which will affect our lives and the lives of everybody around us. And we're anxious about our future, where we'll be in 10, 20, 30 years, and in all the unknowns that the future holds. All of us, to varying degrees, are touched by anxiety. Anxiety is like a restless monster. I think how many times I've been kept up at night with unchecked fear, allowing it to fester inside of me and produce this kind of chilling paralysis almost when anxiety runs its course. Whenever I give in to this, whenever I give in to anxiety, I can almost feel the chilling effects of it inside of me, inside of my gut. It feels like my worry and my doubt completely disable me from functioning as I normally would. It causes me to think irrationally. And the longer I allow it to fester and exist inside of me and grow out of control, the more it behaves like a snowball that's rolling down a hill, increasing in size over time. I give in to greater and greater and greater irrational thoughts, which produce nothing but restless fear and heartache. And I'm sure most of us can say that we have experienced similar feelings. I hate anxiety. I hate the feeling that it produces within me. I want to know how to slay this, how to slay this restless monster that infiltrates our hearts all too often. The beautiful truth is that God hates my anxiety as well. He hates your anxiety. He hates it when my heart doesn't lay down my anxieties at His feet, because unchecked anxiety, it disables me from glorifying His precious and beautiful name and experiencing the sweet, relieving joy that's found freely in His presence. Most of our anxieties are manifestations, truly, of unbelief. And Jesus says this, we'll read it here in a moment. Our flesh doesn't want to trust in a God that we can't see with our eyes, but rather trust in our own power, our own abilities, which are always inadequate to fully and completely sustain us. Remember what Jesus says about this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 30. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 30. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Anxiety and faith butt heads with each other, don't they? They don't like to coexist together, anxiety and faith. When one increases, the other one inevitably decreases. So, how do we slay this evil, restless monster and allow full trust in God to reign in our hearts, expelling this anxiety and living in the precious peace that is found in God? That's the question for tonight. That's the question that we're going to dive into. And that's the question that Paul helps us with in Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 through 7. Paul gives us weapons to fight anxiety and a blessed hope of incomprehensible relief from anxious pain that guards our very souls, keeping us safe in the arms of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice with me what Paul says. Let's look at it more closely and break it down together. Philippians chapter 4, let's look at the first part of verse 6. Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Do not be anxious about anything. Now, my initial response to that is, are you serious, Paul? For real? Don't be anxious about anything? How in the world am I supposed to do that? How in the world am I supposed to just stop being anxious about everything when it seems like this colossal dragon keeps coming back and consuming me and is much more powerful than I am? Just stop being anxious? Are you serious? That seems almost impossible to do. It seems kind of insensitive on the surface to say, just don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious. Until, I believe, we remember the life of this man. Until we remember the experiences that he had, the person that's writing this, that's inspired by the Holy Spirit. This man, the Apostle Paul, most likely had more things to be anxious about than most of us in this room. So I think it's very wise to listen to what he has to say before jumping to conclusions and thinking he's insensitive and thinking that he doesn't have our best interest at heart, which some people do. Notice with me what he says in the latter part of verse 6, Philippians chapter 4, the whole verse 6. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." He says, don't be anxious. Instead of allowing anxiety to reign in your heart and rule over you, take every one of your anxieties, whatever desire you have that you are afraid is going to be taken away from you, and make it known to God. Give it to God. Lay it on Him. Cast it at His feet. Say to Him, "God, I'm afraid of what other people think about me. God, I'm anxious about my kids, about their safety, about their health, about their development. God, I am fearful that we aren't going to make ends meet financially. God, I am terrified about my health. God, I'm nervous about the way the world seems to be going. God, I'm frightened when I think about the future." Whatever the anxiety, the anxious desire is, stop hoarding it. what Paul is saying here. Whatever anxious desire exists within your heart, stop keeping it to yourself. Relinquish it. Give it up. Hand it over to the infinite God of the universe. Why? Why would we do something like that? Because He cares for you. Notice what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. Peter says, verse 6, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you." In verse 7, "Casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you." Notice also what the psalmist says in Psalm 55, verse 2. "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." The way we fight this monster of anxiety is by identifying the desire which is causing us to be anxious. "I desire a good reputation, that everyone around me look at me and say that is a good man, that is a good person. So I'm afraid of what other people think about me. I desire my children to be healthy, which makes me fearful of their safety. I desire to feel security in my finances, causing me to be anxious. I desire the future to be bright and happy for me and all of those around me that I love, and I'm afraid that it won't be." Identify the desire which is causing you anxiety and give it to God through prayer. He won't turn you away. He won't scold you for being petty, but rather He will sustain you and give you what is best because He cares for you. Bring your anxieties to the feet of Jesus Christ. Hand the anxious desire over to Him. Also, notice what else he says in verse 6. I'd like to read the verse again with an emphasis on a certain point. In verse 6 of Philippians chapter 4, He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now, when battling anxiety, don't just pour out the desires of your heart and leave yourself empty and hungry. Fill yourself to the brim with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that's found in Jesus Christ. Discipline the eyes of your heart to take your sight off of the anxious desire and place it on what you have in Christ Jesus. What you have in God. If you do this, your heart will never be empty or left hungry for more, because there is an abundance of spiritual blessings which are poured out upon us through His name. That's why I believe Jesus begins the prayer in Matthew chapter 6 the way that He does. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, Jesus says, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Before focusing, when I approach God's throne in prayer, before focusing on myself in prayer, focus on this Father, on this God whose name is to be hallowed because of how good He is. When we do this, we'll have an infinite amount of spiritual blessings to be thankful for, which will fill our very soul to the brim. Because like we talked about this morning, He is worthy. And there is infinite joy to be found in Him. Fill the void with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that emanates from the very character of this beautiful God that we worship and serve. Notice what the psalmist says in 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Conquering, I don't want to paint the picture that it's a one-time battle and then you don't have to face it anymore. It never comes back. Conquering anxiety is not this one-time event. It's not a one-time battle. It's a recurring battle. The monster, it keeps coming back. However, with each return, the weapon that we have been given through Jesus Christ, the weapon of prayer and thanksgiving, remains. It remains at my disposal to fight it, to slay this monster, to slay this dragon when it keeps and coming back and seems to persist in attacking me. And when we pick up each of these weapons, each time the monster returns, we have this promise that's found in verse 7. Look with me there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We have this promise from our faithful and trustworthy God that we talked about this morning. We have this promise. Here's the promise. When we cast our anxieties on Him and fill that void left in our hearts with thanksgiving that emanates, that comes from His very character, we'll experience a peace. He gives us a peace that goes beyond what our human minds can even fathom or comprehend, a peace that surpasses all understanding. I've tasted this peace in my life, and I'm growing in it and tasting it more with greater intensity every day. And I hope you use these weapons that God has given to you to taste it and experience it as well. I love this God. Don't you? I hope you do. I desire to know this God. I desire to know him more fully every day and experience the joy that's found in him, the joy that the Apostle Paul experiences when he's shackled next to two Praetorian guards and rejoices because the gospel has been preached, because the gospel has been spread. I want to know that more and more every single day and spread that to others. And only in him can we experience that. Only in him can we fight this anxiety, and only in him can we be filled, and only in him is there this blessed, beautiful peace that comes from God himself, that he freely pours out upon those who surrender to him and who trust in him and have faith in him. Hope you've been blessed through the preaching of God's word tonight. If you need anything, if we need to bear your burden for you, pray for you in any way, or if you know that you're not a child of God, an invitation is extended to you tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Repent of your sins. Do a 180 in your life. You can come forward tonight. You can confess your faith in him and be immersed in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of your sin. If you have any need, why don't you come tonight as we stand and as we sing?